shouting partly to herself and maybe partly to her team as well. By the way, just to confirm, Tobias' victory means he will now play the winner of the night match on this court between Felix Auger-Aliassime and Brandon Nakashima.
Indeed.
2 hours and 29 minutes. Goff took the first set 6-4. Potapova hit back to win the second 7-6, having almost squandered a 5-2 lead in the second set, but she dominated the tiebreak. And now she's got to be careful. She plays a backhand cross-court to the double-hander of Goff, then winds up for a big inside-in forehand. Goff is trying to defend that as best she can, but her slice on the forehand is long, 30-all.
And a couple of great battles around the court. I know it's really tight here, but after his great win over Sinner, Cerundolo is trailing the young Spaniard Martin Lanolici 6-5 in the fifth set, but has 2 points to force a super tiebreaker on court seven to decide that match. It's all happening around the grounds at Roland Garros.
Well, I mean, if that does go on for a bit longer and this match finishes, we might have to go over there, Courtney.
Try and duck across.
We'll see what happens, though, as these two exchange forehands from behind their respective baselines, and then Goff tries to flatten it out. She nets, and a big come on belonged to Potapova.
Just taking the pace off that ball. It was a higher, deeper, but off-pace ball. Goff not able to come up with the goods. And a game point for 5-4. Are we seeing the defending champion on the way out, potentially? It's so tight.
Well, it wouldn't surprise you. I mean, nothing can surprise us after what we've seen in the first week of Roland Garros 2026. The umpire has overruled. The call initially from the line judge was that the Potapova serve was out. But he's got the best view, of course. He's on his chair over the net. And he says, no, you can have another first serve.
We've got a lot of messages, but we'll get to those after a couple of these matches. It's been just gripping finales across this beautiful sight.
Forehand return from Coco Gauff, and now it's Potapova who goes long. So this tight ninth game of the final set goes on. It's at deuce. Tobio is still signing autographs on Suzanne Longlen.
He'll have a sore hand given the amount of people that are lining up. The crowd was heavily in favour of the young Frenchman, but certainly there's a great deal of respect for what the Chilean has been able to produce.
Absolutely. Now, backhand cross-court from Potapova. That's her go-to shot, and then she goes down the line. That's brilliant. Right into Goff's forehand corner.
Yeah, she's been able to push Coco further and further and back in that rally. And then the short ball comes up, and she drove through that really well. Hit it from about three-quarter court. Lovely backhand. Superb again from Potapova.
Champions League finals going into extra time. 1-1 after 90 minutes. Backhand return from Goff. The forehand cross-court from Potapova, who winds up for another big forehand. Goff's there to take the pace off the ball. And now she plays a backhand down the middle of the court, soaking up the pressure that Potapova is throwing at her. Then a slightly shorter ball that Goff didn't really attack. Quite happy just to keep pushing, keep probing, hoping, I think more than anything, for an error from her opponent at this stage. Forehand to forehand it goes. What a rally this is. Another forehand. Oh, it's a ballooned forehand long from Coco Gauff. I've got to say, in the context of the match, and bearing in mind she's the defending champion, that wasn't the greatest of points from the American. Potapova holds, and in a moment, Goff's going to have to hold serve to stay in the match.
Yeah, found herself in a slugfest, and the Potapova forehand is flat and hard, and Coco trying to go with her almost toe-to-toe in terms of the power she was creating. We know she has more topspin on that wing, but not able to control the last one. It ballooned well long, and so significant challenge here for Goff. She's been tried and tested. She was under pressure in the first set. She found a way out of it, rallied from a breakdown to win the first set 6-4. In the second set, Potapova moves out to a 5-2 lead. 5-2 lead, holds set points, not able to convert in that game. Goff plays superb tennis, probably her best passage for the match to win 4 games in a row to move to 6-5, but again, it was Potapova who responded to that challenge. In the third, it's been back and forward. It's been a little bit of cat and mouse on the scoreboard, but now it is Potapova leading 5-4 with Goff to serve. It's been a really fascinating and difficult challenge for the defending champion.
Nicky Pont wants constant updates from Court 7, please, Courtney.
Absolutely. I'm going to get back involved, and I can tell you that we are in a super tiebreaker, and it's Serendolo, who had that great win. He is leading 3-2 in the super tiebreaker on serve.
As Coco Gauff, the defending champion, serves to stay in the match at 4-5 in the deciding set. Oh, a little clip of the tape for Potapova, and that took the pace off the ball, and it allowed Gauff to come in and angle a neat little cross-court drop shot for a winner.
Elsewhere, Colin Yong has just secured the third set in his match against Matteo Analdi. He leads 4-6, 7-6, 7-5 on court 14. Madison Keys is up a set and a break on Victoria Boboko on Simone Mathieu. Just so much great tennis around the grounds, and there's a couple of doubles matches as well. But wow, with this singles on fire, it's gripping.
It is, and we're going to try and get the best moments from Court 7 if we can, but we can't pull away from Chatrier with the defending champion in a spot of bother, serving to stay in the match. High ball, she plays a try volley cross court. It's swiped back into play by Potapova. Oh, she's having to defend for all her life. Now Gauff goes across court. Potapova was trying to go down the line, off balance. She nets. Gauff goes to 30 love. If she gets to 5-all, we should be able to get the key moments from that Serendolo Landa Lucia final set tiebreak.
And now at 4-2, that match has been going. I think this will claim the record for the longest this tournament. 5 hours and 49 minutes. The last four sets of this match have gone to tiebreakers.
Goodness me. 30 love. Gauff serves to the forehand. The return was right on the sideline. She went cross-court. Now Potapova goes down the middle of the court. She does it again to that Gauff backhand. Good depth from Coco Gauff. Defending again for Potapova, who tries to regain the ascendancy in the rally with a forehand, a loopy forehand, so the Gauff forehand. So a real mix of pace in this particular rally. And then an injection of pace from Potapova as she goes down the line with a brilliant forehand winner.
Just absolutely rifled that one, stepped into it. There was no way even the best defender in the world would be able to get to that. She struck that like lightning. Brilliant.
Merci.
Landalucci back to 3-4. Tiebreaker back on serve. Out on court number 7.
Gauff misses with her first serve. Lizzie in Utah says the audio is about a point behind the app scores, but I love it. I don't feel so anxious listening since I know what's going to happen. No, Lizzie, put the app away and put the score away at least. Double fault, Coco Gauff.
Double fault from Coco. 30 all. And that one was a bad one. That one was halfway up the net. So perhaps a sign of the tension. We know she's had some issues on her serve. That's her only a third double fault for the match, but it has been an issue at different stages throughout her stint in her career, basically.
Driven down the middle of the court by Gauff on her forehand, then down the line, cross court with no pace from Potapova. The drop shot of sorts from Coco Gauff was simply not good enough. It sat up, it asked to be hit. Potapova hit it. And that brings her a match point.
Just the tension getting to the defending champion on the last couple
merci,
of points.
Merci.
A shocking double fault and then an atrocious drop shot. What can she do to dig out of her way out of this?
4-5, 30-40. Gauff serves to the forehand. The return's right back at her. It's a miss hit from Coco Gauff. The defending champion is out. The shocks and surprises keep coming at Roland Garros 2026. Coco Gauff is the latest victim, beaten in three sets by a tearful, but I'm quite sure absolutely thrilled, Anastasia Potapova.
Wonderful effort there from the Austrian. She collapsed onto the ground afterwards beyond the baseline. Not surprising, and now she is basking in the adulation of the fans. Wow, as she blows kisses to the stands, and that is it for the defending champion. Coco Gauff packs her bags, she's got her rackets, and she is off the court. A disappointing end to what had been only a brief defense of her title here.
Well, the miss hit forehand on match point rather summed up the ins and outs of Coco's game today. This really is, I think it's going to go down as one of the most extraordinary Grand Slams in recent times. Of that, there's absolutely no doubt.
5 all out on court number 7.
Well, I tell you what, let's get straight across to court number 7, shall we? If Anastasia Potapova says anything sensational, we'll bring it to you later. But for those of you who want to know exactly what's going to happen to Juan Manuel Cerúndolo, who of course knocked out Jannik Sinner in the last round, and Martin Landaluce, here we go. It's the Spaniard who's about to serve at 5-6.
Just both of these men went 5 sets just a couple of days ago. Here they are in an absolute war out on court number 7. Just a remarkable match.
Serve to the backhand, and the return is just inside the court. Forehand now is going to be thumped. An off forehand, a really big off forehand from Landaluce, and it's 6 points apiece. They change ends.
5 hours and 53 minutes on the clock. Extraordinary endurance from both men. You see flecks of grey on the back of Landaluce. You see both men staring towards the crowd, trying to take this last big break. 6-all in the super tiebreaker. After all this time, a handful of points to try and separate the victor from the vanquished.
Well, Landaluce is 20 years of age. He's ranked 69 in the world, which is too shy of his best ranking. Juan Manuel Cerúndolo is 24 years of age. He's currently at 56, which is also just a couple of places higher than his best ranking. He's from Buenos Aires. Landaluce is from Madrid. He's serving now from the far end at 6 points apiece. We're watching off a monitor, and you cannot see from the monitor where Cerúndolo is standing to receive because he is so far back.
He might well be outside the court, Marcus.
Well, he just comes into the picture now and completely mishits his return. He may as well have been outside the court then.
So it was interesting. He was trying to take that one on the forehand, and as a result, standing effectively right in the corner. If you imagine the court, and then you push it back to both ends, Landaluce with the slicing serve into him. Clearly, Cerúndolo had a preordained plan there. He wanted a forehand no matter what, and able to cramp him up enough to draw the shank. So now it's the young Spaniard with his nose ahead.
6-7. The Cerúndolo family have already had one blow today because the other member of the family, the other brother, lost to Zachary Zvider. Down the line. Oh, that is a clean winner. A clean winner from Landaluce, which has got the Spanish fans up off their seats again with their flags and their colourful caps. 8-6.
Holding the baseline and just used the pace of that beautifully, leant into it, and what a beautiful forehand.
Chipped return is right on the baseline. Forehand cross court now from Landaluce. Down the line, right off the line from Cerúndolo. He'll now watch the ball coming at him quite quickly onto his forehand wing, and he dispatches it back even more quickly, inside in, a winner, 8-7.
And you can understand why he wanted to take that on the forehand. It was a beautifully struck shot. Great work there from Cerúndolo to get round that and stump that winner up the line. What can Landaluce do? He has 2 serves to come, and he leads 8-7, Marcus.
Yes. It's there for him after 5 hours and 56 minutes. Has a look up. Then he looks down. Prepares himself. Serves, trying to go down the middle. Misses long with his first serve. Again, there's no sign of Cerúndolo in the picture. He is so far back. Just about see him now as he comes forward with a forehand. Backhand cross court from Landaluce, who then goes right into the corner. Good defending so far, at least, from Cerúndolo. But he's going to have to be careful here because the ball keeps coming back hard at him, but this time it comes back wide at him. 8-all.
Wow. Extended rally and just went for a little bit too much. Didn't quite get his feet going. Understandably, both men will be very tense. They're very, well, they're not inexperienced in one regard, but they are so young in their careers. Both coming off big, big wins. Both extended to the brink right here in this match. Astonishing.
We've had a conveyor belt of thrilling tiebreaks today. Berrettini winning 15-13. Forehand return now from Cerundolo. He's come up a little closer for another forehand down the middle of the court. And a miss hit off the backhand wing from the Spaniard. And having held a minor advantage a few moments ago, Lando Luthea now has his back up against the wall because Juan Manuel Cerundolo has a match point at 9-8 in this final set.
Just 2 minutes shy of the six-hour mark this match.
He made headlines 2 days ago at the expense of Jannik Sinner. Can he make headlines in his own right? Serves trying to go down the line. Sun's gone in. The second serve is to the forehand. The return's wide. And we're starting to become accustomed to a big smile from Juan Manuel Cerundolo. He's backed up that victory against Jannik Sinner. He's won an absolute epic against Martin Landaluthea. His brother lost today, but he's still flying the flag, though he's going to need plenty of rest before he goes back out onto court again.
Just extraordinary resilience, great endurance from both men, and just at the end of this match, so little separated them, but the final 3 points, backhand errors from the young Spaniard just may have hit the wall right at the very death of that match. Just an unbelievable match lasting just shy of two hours. Minutes shy of 6 hours.
Yes, there's a slight difference between the two, Courtney. But we've been here for about 2 hours, and it feels like we've been here for 6 hours as well. But another extraordinary match. Oh, dear. Wherever you look, something incredible is happening around Roland Garros. Martin Landaluthea is sitting down now and shoving his rackets into his bag as the reality hits home. He was so close. Bit impetuous towards the end, though, wasn't he?
As I said, just perhaps the feet finally stopped moving because there were three backhands in succession which he's missed. Two of them were, forehands directed down the middle of the court. He couldn't quite get himself around, pushed them both wide, and then that last one tried to take the return early. It skipped up high, a lot of spin on that second serve from Cerundolo, and he shanked it, and the ball goes wide, and it is Cerundolo making it one win for the family from two outings today. Great effort to back up after coming here a couple of days ago and inflicting the upset of the tournament, but also the upset, perhaps the biggest upset here for many, many years.
We won't be able to hear from him because they don't do on-court interviews on court seven, but I'm sure he'll give a press conference a little later. His brother lost in five sets as well. Is there an unwritten rule in the contract of every player that you've got to play five sets and preferably go to a match tiebreak as well? Eventually, Zacharys Vaida beat the other Cerundolo, Francisco, 6-3, 6-4, 3, 6-4, 6, 6-3. So Zvaida will now play Flavio Cuboli, who's the outlier because he lost only seven games in his straight sets win over Lerner Tien. We heard all about Alejandro Tabillo a short time ago, that win against Moise Kwami in four sets. So he's going to play either Felix Auger-Aliassime or Brandon Nakashima, who'll be out on Chatrier in about 10 or 15 minutes. Still to play, Jaime Faria and Francis Tiafoe. And Arnaldi against Collignon. Now, what has happened in that match again?
It is 2-1 to Collignon. He lost the first 6-5. He was able to bounce back and win the second set 7-6 and the third 7-5. And now he's down 2-love in the fourth. So that could well be another five-setter. If Arnaldi can hold his advantage in this, he's trailing 2-1, the Italian, but up a break in the fourth, early in the fourth set.
Well, that's on court 14, so I think because there's not going to be any play for a while on Chatrier, we're going to head to court 14 in just a moment.
I can work through some messages as well.
If you whilst could, I'll just wrap up what else has happened. The victory for Matteo Berrettini by 15-13 in a final set tiebreak. Another absolute thriller against Francisco Comisano of Argentina means he'll now play Juan Manuel Cerundolo. And as far as the women are concerned, there's just one match still to be completed. I don't know actually if they've started. That's Victoria Mboko against Madison Keys.
Indeed, it's a set to the good with Keys. Keys leading 6-3 and 2-love out on Simon Mathieu.
Thank you, Courtney. You're doing very well to keep up with all these other scores. It's too much for me. Earlier today, Aryna Sabalenka came through 6-love, 7-5 against Daria Kazakina. She's now going to play Naomi Osaka, who won a thriller against a very impressive Iga Jovic. 7-6, 6-7, 6-4, the margin of victory for Osaka. And Bocor Keys will play Diana Schneider, who won 7-5, 6-1 against Olga Olynykova. Anastasia Podapova, a short time ago, ended the defence of Coco Gauff in three. She's now going to play Anna Kalinskaya, who was too strong for Kamila Osorio. And then we have the Polish qualifier, and I've been practising her name all day, having got it wrong earlier on. It's Maja Hwalinka, who came from a set down against Maria Sakkari to win 1-6, 6-3, 6-2. And she's going to play the sole surviving French person, be it male or female, in the singles draw. Diane Parry came through 6-3, 4-6, 7-6 against Amanda Anisimova, 10 points to 3 in the tiebreak. Some messages, Mr. Walsh.
Plenty of messages. We'll get to Bill's note first in terms of pronouncing the name of the Chilean who's just won. We'll get it right for the fourth round if you've taken offence at it, I think.
Have we got it wrong, Bill?
Well, I thought we were fairly close, but we couldn't quite hear what he was saying. But we'll get that right, Bill. Point noted. 6 hours, how is Saron Little alive? We've almost got five tie-break sets in this one. Amazing. And we will get a bit of the Madison Keys match, I'm sure. We'll just whip through some notes from people. Katie has written, hello from southeastern Connecticut. So happy to be in the midst of my favourite 2 weeks of the tennis year, Roland Garros Radio. And the matches too. It's been spreading the word of our entertaining coverage. I had no choice when I couldn't stop giggling at my Point Play Clinic Thursday night. After a day of Stefan getting stuck in the lift, a confusion caused by the sinner dinner typos. Looking forward to the next couple of hours of listening to it as I drive to my New England mixed doubles playoff matches on the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Oh,
good luck tonight, and thanks, Katie. We love that note.
Good luck with the bad. Well, we've got a lot of listeners actually either on their way to or from matches.
Bill from Chicago, Stefan figured a bird in the hand was worth three for the Empress. Well, that's true. It's just astonishing, astonishing sort of scenario. I couldn't believe the tense situation I found myself in that day. Mr. Howard has written and said, another wonderful day of commentary. Is it me? Are there more critical listeners who want to be producers sending messages about how you should all do your job?
We're very open to suggestions.
We live in Rennes, home to thousands of PSG fans and student population, and it will be quite volatile if it happens tonight. He's pulling for the local team to lose, if only for a quiet night and for a city that is safe.
No, I think won't be any quieter. I think if they do lose, it might just be a little more tense about the place. Anyway, our shift is just about done. I mean, it's high time that Eleanor Preston got a face in front of a microphone. She's going to keep you company tonight alongside the Empress. There's obviously going to be a slight delay to the evening session. Not too significant a one, but significant happenings still to occur around the grounds.
My question for you, Marcus, is how many snakes will be left in that big, big bag by the end? Now, there's predictions going around. All my predictions are going out, by the way. I've slumped from three to one.
In the tennis predictions.
In the tennis predictions.
My new prediction for the men's final is still going strong.
Just
about. Matteo Berrettini against Casper Ruud when it all collapsed yesterday. That was my new final, and they are still.
I don't know that you can.
I didn't realise we had a new competition.
Everyone was allowed to.
Constant. Oh, were they?
Constant.
Well,
no one else has entered, it means I get the prize pool.
Which was $1,000 from your account.
I'm donating it. So, did you all miss that message? If you look back through the group, I'm sure it's there.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Oh, that's
did
fabulous.
Anybody have Coco Gauff, by the way?
No.
Yes.
Your hole. Yeah, right, okay.
So, hang on, you're down to what? Nothing?
I'm down to Andreeva.
You're down to?
Oh, plenty left for me.
You've got two.
I got my two dark horses.
Who are?
Kostyuk and Khoda.
I think.
So you've got the same dark horses, haven't you?
I did mine first.
I'm just stating a fact.
On count back, it's whoever chose last. Have you got any picks left, Gigi?
Three. I've got three people running.
I mean, your mate.
Świątek. So I lose one tomorrow because Świątek plays Kostyuk.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I see.
So I think you'll lose a dark horse tomorrow.
I think Kostyuk's going to beat Świątek tomorrow.
No, Świątek's going to win that.
She's very tight, Iga Świątek. That's demonstrated in that press conference a couple of days ago.
Well, she's on first again, which she wanted, so she should be nice and relaxed.
That is true.
Who picked Sophie picked Victoria Mboku to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if she's going to, she's got some work to do.
There's some listeners are very eager to hear how she's going.
You know how Sophie can cause...
You've not been covering her. You've been ignoring the listeners, Courtney. It's not how we do it.
We've been definitely not been ignoring the listeners. We've still been asking Joshua to come back and join us, but
he
hasn't.
Can you stop putting it... It's needy.
Can I just say that you know Sophie causes chaos wherever she goes? And that includes the press conferences, because she went in to do the Diane Parry one, and I went in there too. And it wasn't Sophie's fault. You go English first.
Break point keys for Four Love in the second.
And then Sophie asked a question, and Diane Parry stopped and says, no, in French. And then, of course, it's, no, we can't do French yet. And chaos descended.
That's literally a rule at all Grand Slams, that English starts.
Sophie was speaking in English, but Diane wasn't having it.
Oh, she couldn't accept that Sophie was asking a question in English.
Well, like the rest of us, she couldn't understand what Sophie was saying.
Marcus! Can I apologise to Sophie if you're listening?
She's doing a book signing somewhere.
I have to say that Sophie's excitement when she was talking about Diane Parry was very infectious.
That was lovely.
And it was a really lovely little piece of commentary where she was just so invested in what was going on the court.
It's wonderful, and I'm investing in her game because I think she's got so much talent. But to have that personal connection, that knowledge that she has there, wow.
I do love Amanda Anisimova, though. I was a little bit sad.
I mean, the only thing is, in a press conference, when there's only one question left and Sophie grabs the mic and says, would you like to buy my book? I'm thinking that wasn't the right time.
Did you not grab it and say, mine's still on sale too, with lots of copies to sell?
You're giving
never
him an
be
opening.
Professional. That's a very good idea. Yeah. Very good
There's
idea.
Lots of copies still available. Right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure listening. Were we listening? I don't think we were.
We're always listening.
It was always listening. I was listening earlier when Marcus was plugging his wife's business. I mean, did that for about 10 minutes. He got Antoine involved as well. Everybody must go and get some flowers from Olivia. anyone else's businesses? Oh, I don't mind.
I mean, I very much enjoy your Antoine impersonation.
Well, it's my half-French side coming out. So, no, you have a go at us about the snakes, and Courtney, you are straight in there.
No snakes on exit. It's going to be a long evening here.
Yeah, no snakes on exit. We haven't even started the night session, and it's going to be five sets, probably. Those shapes are going to go. Juice, Victoria Mboko, Madison Keys. Why are you still here? But you're a Tottenham fan. Why are you staying to watch Arsenal?
She's
Get
talking
out
to,
the box.
Can I just point out, Gigi's talking to Marcus, not to me.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I don't want Eleanor to leave the box. I want the Tottenham fan to leave the box who sat here watching Arsenal in the Champions League final against PSG. They're about to start the second period of extra time before penalties. If it goes penalties, Marcus will be leaving the box because Stefan is going to carry him out. No, not if it goes to penalties.
Yeah.
Have a lovely evening, Courtney. That was must hold for Victoria Mboku, just to give herself a little bit of a lifeline in this third round match.
Do you know one player none of us spoke about particularly going into
Madison
this tournament?
Keys.
Madison Keys.
I know. Why? I mean,
well, Grand Slam champion.
So is Sophia Kenin. You're talking about her? You're talking about Bianca Andreescu? I don't think you can still... I've got a point.
It was only last year.
But it was last year.
Okay, but it was still only last year.
And tell me the results since.
Okay, they haven't been great. I would say that Madison Keys is probably a better clay court player than those other names that you mentioned.
Kansas
yes, but
Hill.
I still... I think she's a great player, but I understand why she wasn't being talked about.
And I think the conditions in this first week, the warmer conditions will probably have helped Keys a little bit.
No, I agree with all that, but I also understand why her name wasn't in the mix in terms of the lead-up to the tournament.
Oh, I didn't mention her either.
See?
I was just remarking rather than kind of chastising anybody. It's just interesting because, you know, we don't have that many Grand Slam champions in singles of recently, and it's an interesting one to talk about.
We don't have any. Well, if you're talking we, 15 Love, it's Madison Keys. She did win the Australian Open last year at the start of a dream come true for Keys. He has a strapping on the left thigh, the upper part of the left thigh. Matteo Arnaldi was very annoyed at dropping the third set to Rafael Collignon, and he's 3-2 leading with the serve in the fourth. And Diane Parry pulled out of her doubles. So Sigmund and Zvonareva have a walkover.
Well, she said in her on-court interview, well, I've got doubles now, and I also want to watch the football, so I'm not quite sure.
Poor old Fiona Ferro got the message. I'm watching the football tonight.
Well, also, Parry does have quite a lot of strapping on a leg, and maybe struggling with just a bit of tightness there and taking the proportion.
Beautiful forehand from Victoria Mboko going cross court. A little raised fist from the Mboko box. She's wearing an all-white outfit, Mboko, with the pleated skirt and the halter neck top and the white visor. They have a green dress from Madison Keys.
I rather like this colour on the Keys is wearing, and quite a few of the
teal?
Players.
Is it teal?
I was going to go with mint green, but
I don't think it...
It's a disaster,
isn't it?
This is like when Chris Bowers and I discuss fashion.
Okay.
It's a very, very short conversation.
Okay, I think ours is longer, slightly. 30-15, Mboko taking this very, very early, pushes it deep with the backhand, but then the depth of the shot from Keys landed behind Mboko. She wasn't able to set herself to get anything on it, and Keys has points for 4-1 after taking the first set by 6-3.
I think the key sentence from Chris Bowers was, do they still call them pop socks?
It's like Marcus in the past said, oh, that's a nice blouse. I'm like, what's that? Come on. Yes, you have. You have said blouse before. You don't like it? Leave.
Oh, she's in militant mood tonight, listeners.
Mboko with a forehand, spins it cross court and wide. So that is the game for Keys. Two more holes of serve will do it for Madison Keys. She'll book her place in the round of 16. Floodlights on. Skies are starting to darken somewhat. Just gone 8:30 in the evening. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we think it's going to be a long one because Felix Auger-Aliassime, Brandon Nakashima is the night match, and nothing about that says quick.
No, both of them are players who play at a sedate pace.
It's a pace, isn't it? It's
and they
not
take
a quick one.
And they take time between points as well.
Yes, they do. I mean, I feel like we're not selling it to everyone, but stay with us because it's going to be very, very exciting.
Well, I think it'll be interesting. And Auger-Aliassime, lest we forget, is the highest seeded man in the top half of the draw after draw carnage. And so he is certainly someone who now has an opportunity that perhaps he might not have had at the start of the tournament. Well, he had the opportunity, but not necessarily the expectation. And it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that. There's a whole load of players in that boat. I mean, almost everybody who with no Alcaraz, with Sinner out, with Djokovic out, who will all have perked up somewhat. And
I would say there's a lot of perky people, but with the amount of time they're spending on court, it's like dead men walking in the men's draw.
Well, Berrettini, case in point, went over 5 hours today, about came through. But
the other Cirindolo, 6 hours.
Juan Manuel Cirindolo, backing up. Quite impressive, actually, to back up that win over Sinner and not allow there to be a big letdown.
This is second meeting this year and the second meeting in total between these two. Adelaide quarterfinal stage was just under 2 hours and Victoria Mboko will come through 6-2 in the third. Backhand down the line. Key swings into it. She was sliding. She was off balance. It's just a must now. She has to hold serve. Wim Fissette, the new coach of Victoria Mboko, having confirmed that she's parted way with her entire setup, which was part of Tennis Canada, sort of, I guess, growing up and going her own way. Backhand return from Keys into the centre of the court. The off forehand from Mboko. Mboko double-handed backhand down the line. That's a beautiful shot from Mboko.
Well, that's the thing, I think, we sometimes forget about these players, whatever age they are, they become employers, don't they? they almost become sort of small business owners with five or six employees sometimes, under contract usually.
Dirty Love serve out wide. It's cut back on the forehand side, very deep. The off backhand winner from Keys.
40-0.
Game points for Mboku.
I have to say, wearing white on clay is a bold choice because it is the notoriously dirty surface in terms of getting your socks orange and getting all over your clothes.
Short ball from Mboku should finish this off. Keys gets to it, lobs up a backhand. It will go long. That's a love hold from Mboku. So done all she can do at this stage. Very important now. She tries to get something on the Keys serve. Best Roland Garros of Madison Keys. Was a semi-finalist here, but that's back in 2018. Lots happened since then.
I mean, she was really a fairy tale story when she won at the Australian Open and played incredibly well against the best players. She just had one of those fortnights, really, where she was playing lights out tennis. And I just think I really liked her candor when she talked about how much she'd struggled with the notion of, I should be a Grand Slam champion. I should have won a Grand Slam by now. My career is somehow unfulfilled. She had quite a lot of therapy just to kind of work through that and came to the conclusion that she'd had a great career even if she didn't win a Grand Slam, and conversely that freed her up to win a Grand Slam.
Hasn't dropped a set so far. Spent 2 hours 46 on court coming into this match with Victoria Mboku. Mboku dropped a set, the first set to Katerina Siniakova in the second round. Love 15 on the key serve. Key slides into the forehand down the line. It's not deep enough from Mboku. She then switches the forehand cross, got the drop shot from Keys. Oh, it's good. Really good. A lot of disguise on it. Great execution, and she levels up at 15 all 40 in the second.
Well, everything about Madison Keys that we've seen so far is very self-contained. No histrionics, no fist pumps. Yeah. Some of that may be conserving energy, given that it's still very, very warm out there.
Very business-like. Forehand snap back from Mboku, down the line from Keys. Keys double-handed backhand swings. It sits up. Sits up on the forehand cross-court from Mboku, and it's a little bit too wide from Keys.
15-30.
People, a couple of people fanning themselves. We're told that the temperature will drop by about 10 degrees overnight, which I think is a wonderful thing. 15-30, as will the players, I'm sure, serve out wide. It's a bit short. It's lofted back on the backhand side. It swung cross-court from Keys. It's stretched back from Mboku, but she was off-balance, nearly fell over, misses the court, and it's 30-all.
Certainly, it's going to have an interesting effect on the tennis as well, because we've talked a lot, haven't we, about the conditions and how hot it is, but that change in conditions, and we're looking at low 20s really for the rest of the week, possibly a little bit of rain around towards the end of the week. We might get the roof closed. All of these things will have a bearing.
Forehand flipped into the middle of the court. The off backhand, that's a beauty. Back behind Keys goes the Canadian. And she has a breakpoint opportunity to get us back on serve in this second set. Arnaldi, oh, he's still on serve in the fourth with Raphael Collignon, but it's the Belgian who leads by 2-1, and we are yet to have players out on Philippe Chatrier. Keys with the forehand. Oh, she misses. She lofts it long, Madison Keys.
Balance, s'il vous plaît, new balls, please.
This is now really interesting. Keys, I have to say, the strapping on the shoulder and the upper arm of Mboku is plentiful, but she's broken the serve and she's back on serve.
Well, as you were saying earlier in the week where we watched Mboku previously, she does often have quite a lot of strapping on that shoulder. Because she's wearing a sleeveless top, it's quite conspicuous.
But she's got herself back in this, Mboku. Madison Keys, the ice towel on. The format hasn't been great, so it is good to see how well she's been playing here. And I remember speaking to her in Riyadh back end of last year, and it was so funny that you have all the interviews, so there's a long line of people, and I think we were last. So you think, oh, they're just going to be answering all the same questions. And my first question with Madison Keys, I think there'd been a massive gap between her first and then her next appearance to her finals. So that I was going to go in with that. I thought it was quite a good question. She sits down, she's like, hey, how are you? I said, fine. She said, you can't believe it. Everyone has been asking me. And I was like, oh, right then. Okay. I said, I'm going to think of a different question. And so she chuckled. And so I phrased it differently. But she said, every single person has started off with, this is the biggest gap between a first appearance at the Tour Finals and a second appearance at the Tour Finals.
But I think that tells its own story, doesn't it, about Keys's career? I mean, and as I said, even if she hadn't won the Australian Open, it would still have been a fantastic career. She made semifinals at Wimbledon, semifinals here. She is somebody who's excelled. But when she first emerged on the scene coming out of juniors, she had so much raw talent and so much raw power, particularly on that forehand side as well as on the serve. The expectation was there from the get-go, and she had to deal with that, and I think struggled to deal with that earlier on in her career. It was actually really when her husband took over as her coach.
Yeah. Ace down the tee, it's quite brave, yes, isn't it? But you do see a lot of players who are in relationships with their coaches, but this was slightly different in that Bjorn Vertanen was a player himself on tour and busy with his own career, and then when he stopped playing, he took up that role.
Yes, so, and she sort of said, well, you're giving me lots of advice, why don't you come try coaching me?
Yeah.
And it worked brilliantly.
Yes, it worked really well. Lofted high moon ball from Mboko, flattened out, inside out from Keys. It's 15 all, 3-4 Mboko. Oh, she framed it. Misses the court. 15-30.
It was interesting hearing her talk about it, because also it sort of, hearing them both talk about it, actually, because it was almost as though he'd been thinking things quietly to himself and hadn't really felt it was his place to say them. And one of them was, well, why are you using that racket? And it was a racket she'd been using since the juniors. Well, why do you practice like that? Well,
lob from Mboko after the redrop from Keys, and Keys goes long. That was a really good get from Mboko off the Keys drop shot.
So that was somebody she knew incredibly well. Actually, he changed quite a lot of things for her.
I've got a friend on Philippe Chatrier this evening.
Who?
Just trying to spot them. Alex.
Not Koretcha.
No, he's in the box two down. Into the body of Keys, who manages to pull out the forehand. Then the backhand drop shot from Keys. And Mboko gets it, pushes it very deep. Again, really clever play. It wasn't just the get, but it was how deep she managed to get it.
Who's your friend then?
Alex is a friend of my other half and I. He's from France. He's here with his wife. Haven't seen him in a long time. And he said, guess where I am? And I said, I'm right above you.
Well, hello to Alex if he's listening.
I don't think he's listening. He's watching.
You can do both.
No, I don't think he's listening.
We do have plenty of people, though, who come.
Oh, we do.
Put their headphones in and watch the tennis while listening to us. So if you are here tonight, give us a wave.
Backhand slice through the middle from both. Flat backhand down the line. This is game point from Mboko. The forehand, ooh, side edge of the sideline from Mboko. Steps on the short, but backhand down. What a beautiful point. Yeah. A wicked slice in the middle of that point. But she locks us in at 4-all in the second set. A set she must win to have any chance of continuing on in the competition. And she is Sophie's hope to win the whole thing.
Well, that was a bold choice from Sophie. But she does know her onions. And Mboko fighting back very well in this second set. Maybe just a little bit of a drop in level from Keys.
And all the ball boys and ball girls, if you're hearing squeaky little shoes everywhere.
Well, and we have players on court. On court, Philippe Chatrier. Brandon Nakashima walking out first as the lower-ranked player. The lower-ranked player always walks out first, or is announced first, and then Felix Auger-Aliassime coming laden with bags. He looks like he's moving house.
He does. He looks like going away for the weekend, doesn't he? And Mboko with the off forehand. Backhand cross court from Keys. Down the line winner for Mboko, who is in a rich vein of form. She has the momentum right now, the Canadian. Only her second appearance at Roland Garros. We still have to remember how new she is to the tour.
She's just banking experience all the time, isn't she? She's done a lot of firsts.
She lost the moon ball up on the backhand side from the returner, Seb. Brought down forehand cross court from Keys. The forehand from Keys, cross court. And into it. Keys just hanging ahead a little bit, swishing the racket backwards and forwards.
Well, we were saying that Keys has been very self-contained, but she's also perhaps just needs to lift a bit, perhaps needs to do a bit of fist pumping just to get herself going again at this point.
Love 30, that was a flare slash firework from a PSG fan somewhere in the vicinity, because it is going to penalties, at which point Marcus might be leaving us. He'll stay very quiet if he's staying. The pickup off the backhand side, high, high ball misses the court. So the Champions League final's gone to penalties. So Paris is sort of holding its breath in many ways. They have lost all their men from the competition. They still have Diane Parry in the singles. I mean, we've lost most of the men in the singles, really.
We certainly lost anyone who had a number next to their name.
Anyone who was seeded.
It was a very bad year to have a number next to your name here at Roland Garros.
Well, especially a high number. That was. I've been keeping track of, because we lost Lerna Tien and Francisco Cerundolo. That was two more seeds. So in the, we still have three left in, and we'll lose another one this evening. So by the end of today, we will have the 10th seed, Flavio Caboli, in the top half, together with one of Oji Eliassim or Nakashima in the top half. Oh no, Francis Tiafoe. He's still to play. We've still got Francis. That's still to come.
Bottom half, of course, Zverev, the number two seed.
Go on to Tom.
Came through in four sets last night.
Oh against, yeah, Francis Tiafoe's underway. Apologies. Yeah. It's another one.
Another one. So many seeds. I don't know what you're talking about. We've got loads of seeds. But yes, we have lost a lot. You'd always lose some seeds in the third round, of course, because it's a round of 32, where the 32 seeds face off if they get that far.
We don't normally lose the ones we've lost. Backhand line. Oh, Keys, come on. She screams.
Keys.
Because she will put the pressure on her opponent. Yes, we're on serve. Keys, but when they return, the teenager from Canada is serving to stay in Roland Garros.
Well, there's certainly a big gap in experience between these two. Keys has been around a long time, as we've been saying. Has seen it all before and played in huge, huge matches. Mboko made that extraordinary breakthrough in winning her home Masters event in Canada last summer. And at the moment, she's kind of playing with the house's money, isn't she? Because she doesn't have points to defend. She's having all these new experiences. She's still really in her breakthrough year. I think the interesting test is going to come going into the period where she made her breakthrough. Yeah. Going into Canada, the ranking system, as we know, is a rolling 12-month ranking system, a rolling 52-week ranking system. And if you don't defend the points that you earned the previous year, your ranking can really drop. So that will be where we test her mettle, if you like, and we see how she responds to that pressure that players are dealing with week in, week out.
Massimo Arnaldi had set points to take us to a decider. He has a set point remaining on the serve of Collignon, Raphael Collignon. That taking place on court 14. There's penalties in the Champions League final, and there's Victoria Mboku serving to stay in the tournament on serve 4-5 and misses the first set. Tiafoe, I should say, Farrier, early stages. Tiafoe serving for a game point for 3-0. And Matteo Arnaldi has taken. So 3 hours, 46 minutes. They're going to a decider, 6-4 to the Italian in the fourth. And they haven't started on Philippe Chatrier. Well, John is hiking along the Oregon, listening to Radio Roland Garros. As the perfectly ridiculous soundtrack. Do we take that as ridiculous as a compliment?
I think he means the tennis, not us.
Just perfect.
Unless I'm perfect and you're ridiculous.
It could be quite possible. By the end of the night, that probably will be the case. 2 points away from the win, Madison Keys, and booking her place in the round of 16. That's week two of the Grand Slam. Although it's Sunday, because it starts on a Sunday, but it is officially the start of week two when we get the round of 16 matches. Love 30. Mboko serves down the tee. The off backhand drops over to the service line. Down the line goes Mboko. Floated backhand slice. The backhand cross court. The double hand from Keys down the line to the forehand through the centre from Mboko. Back through the centre goes Keys. Forehand into the corner from Mboko. The net is found by Madison Keys.
A little bit tight on the forehand side from Keys there. She'd created the opportunity. She'd eked out love 30. Not able to capitalise.
15-30, 4-5. Mboko serves.
Just long. Just long.
Looking to go for the body serve. Kick it up into the Keys body. Ball boys settle. Some really firm bounces of the ball by the Canadian. Serves down the tee now. The forehand slap through the middle of the court. Wow. Shot through the court. The air swing and from Mboko. The result, two match points.
Well, sometimes with this crushed brick dust surface, you can get odd bounces. The ball can just fly off. I wonder if that's what happened here. Two match points to Madison Keys on the return of serve.
Mboko serves. Oh, wow. I mean, Keys just let fly on that return serve. Quite literally, both feet in the air, clubbed the forehand cross court. Swing and a miss.
She is a very powerful player. That's her trademark.
Second match point, the off inside out forehand. Then the inside out forehand again. And Mboko defending with a double handed backhand. Down the line goes Keys. That's good and deep from Keys. Keys gets a short ball, but she nets. She got the short ball she wanted.
Tension can do all sorts of things to a tennis player's arm in these moments. Keys just looking a little bit tight on the forehand side. She's probably hit thousands of forehands in her career.
Mboko, that's a good serve that kicks up. Goes long, so from 15-40 down, a point for five all in the second.
And a little bit of expression from Madison Keys, where she just kind of did wobbly arms as if to say, well, that was a bit silly. What were you doing there?
Game point, Mboko, inside out forehand, inside the service line. Down the line goes Mboko, pick up. It's a short ball. Mboko should punish it. She goes back into the corner of the forehand cross court from Keys. A looping, lofted ball down the line from Mboko. This high ball sits up above shoulder height. The moon ball back from Mboko. A high one through the middle from Keys. Slightly flatter from Mboko. Very flat cross court, the forehand from Keys. Keys forehand nets. And we go on.
Yeah,
five games all, second Thank set as we're underway. And Felix Auger-Aliassime is serving. And the first point has gone to Brandon Nakashima.
Well, missed opportunity for Madison Keys. Those two match points. Is this set going to be the one that got away? Is this match going to be the one that got away? Certainly the momentum now is with Mboko.
A lot of tension everywhere. Hour and a half nearly on the clock. It's nearly 5 to 9 in the evening. Serve down the tee. Really good serve. Gets a short ball. Key should punish it. Aye. She got the short return. She set herself to run around the backhand side. She was going back to where Mboko was, but Mboko wouldn't have got a racket on it. Keys nets.
Well, Keys hit that glorious forehand straight down the middle of the court, which Mboko got a bad bounce off. But it was a spectacular shot. And since then, she's had a lot of very tight forehands, hasn't she?
Serve out wide, Mboko with a double-handed backhand. Keys goes inside in. She's using the court well. The defensive backhand from Mboko. Mboko with the forehand. That's deeper. Pushes Keys back. A lot of spin on that forehand from Keys. Keys goes cross-court. Cross-court goes Mboko. Down the line goes Keys. Centre of the court goes Mboko. Inside in goes Keys. Slap, forehand, slice. Misses the court. 15-all, 5-all. 1-all in the penalty shootout in Budapest.
Well, this court, Simone Mathieu, is a drama magnet. And this match is shaping up to be...
I think everything involving Paris at the moment is a bit dramatic, if I'm honest.
That's a very good point.
It's a fair point, isn't it? 15-all, 5-all, serve out wide misses.
But we had Matteo Berrettini come through in five sets on this court in the match that preceded this one, which was... nerve jangling.
How do you recover from that? Into the centre of the box, the forehand down the line, the backhand cross court. That one sits on the service line. It's flattened out cross court on the angle from Mboko. Mboko comes in. Surely she puts this away. She goes into the corner. The pick up on the backhand from Keys. The ball will land just long, and it's 15-30. Remember, this is just the second set because we could still have another set to go in this encounter.
Oh, Mboko fighting hard. Saving match points, coming back from a breakdown in this set.
Oh. just missing with the first serve. Ooh, that serve kicks up and it's lofted up the backhand return. The forehand is brought down and swung cross court. Keys is ready with the forehand, but she's missed. Got it all wrong. Wasn't set up for it at all.
15-40.
She's got a wry smile, I would say, on the face.
I think a wry smile is, well, it's a tribute to her calm and poise, because I'm not sure I'd have a wry smile. She's just missed so many forehands. And it's a signature shot.
Missed by a way that first serve. Big old second serve. Massive second serve from Keys. Gifted that final point and with it the game to Victoria Mboku, who very shortly will look to serve us into a decider after an hour and 32 minutes of play.
Well, Keys will be kicking herself, won't she? In such a strong position there. And Mboko, well, credit to her for her fighting quality and grit and determination and willingness to hang in there. Well, you can probably hear some fireworks on our effects, Mike.
Yeah, Arsenal have missed a penalty, but PSG have just had one saved. So I think the fireworks might stop. They might start again, but they are temporarily halted. Someone got a little bit carried away with his flares. Got to put them back.
Be careful where you put them, though.
Be careful where you put your flares.
Yeah, so as we've been saying, we are very, very close to kind of the epicentre of Parisian sport, really, here. At, not just with Roland Garros, but with Stade Juan. It's been a long day.
And we're actually getting an aerial view of the Parc des Princes, PSG's ground, where they've set up four massive screens, as they did last year. For those who haven't been able to go to Budapest, can go and just be in their spiritual home.
And it's about a 6-minute walk.
Oh, if
from
we walk
Roland Garros
from our commentary box and look across, we'll probably see the flares and fireworks together with hearing them as you are now. Mboko serves down the tee into the body of Keys. Midcourt ball, backhand down the line, forehand up the line. The backhand, oh, it's long. No, it's not, just in. Forehand, too much spin on that. Able to drag it down. Then that one's long. Playing with fire, Mboko in that point. Not enough to spin to drag down the final ball. And it is 6-5 Mboko, but it is love 15. Mboku serves down the tee. It's a better serve. It's chopped back. It's long. And it's 15-all. Three more points. And Victoria Mboku takes us to a decider.
Do you think we might have quite a lot of Canadian listeners at the moment between Victoria Mboku on one court and Félix Auger-Aliassime on the other?
I hope so.
I can tell you that Auger-Aliassime has held his serve in the opening game.
Get in touch with us if you are Canadian or a fan of the Canadians on show. We've also got Francis Tiafoe, who has a point for 4-all with Jaime Faria in the first set of their match. That was very deep from Keys. Then she puts a little bit shorter backhand cross court from Mboko. Mboko trying to close out the set. She has the break at 6-5. That is loose from Keys. If she would have just scratched her head in confusion as to what's taking place. Bjorn Fratangelo, the husband, sort of leaning forward on the front of the box, not saying anything. 2 points needed for Victoria Mboku. Serve out wide, gets it. Has to step back into this backhand that goes down the line. Then there's a drop shot from Keys. Here's the forehand. Oh, Mboku's got it onto the line. The lob is up from Keys, and Mboku doesn't need to play it. Set points for Victoria Mboku to take us to a decider after an hour and a half at 9 o'clock at night.
Keys just a little bit flat. I think still probably processing that she was in such a strong position and has let that slip. And as I said, Mboko in the ascendancy.
Serve out wide. Forehand netted. Mboko. And guess what? We're going the distance. Victoria Mboko, Madison Keys for a second time this year and a second time in their career meeting will go the distance. Shall we experience Philippe Chatrier while the players get set for the decider?
Yes.
I think that's probably because we're very early stages. Arnaldi Collignon in the fifth. Tiafoe Faria is 4-all in the first. So we just dive over.
So you won't miss a thing on Radio Roland Garros. We'll keep you updated with every score that's going on around the grounds. And Mboko fighting back there in impressive style.
Absolutely.
And Keys is going to have to do some thinking and try and regroup a little bit, because she was in a winning position, really, to take the match out. Had those two match points, couldn't convert them.
And we will be going back there for that match. We just want to keep the live tennis coming for you. And this will be our feature match.